This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Could save water for so many western states, and it's going to require a lot of several of those states, including Arizona and California. Speaking of requirements, it's the art of compromise or no deal. Biden and McCarthy seem pretty positive about some sort of a deal on the debt dilemma. But their differences are still in the air. So there is no deal yet, and the debt limit crisis looms. What does it mean for you and I? Coming up, also a visit to the man cave. The Denver Nuggets are in. The Lakers are out. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you're having a great week so far. It's just the start of the week. So if you're not, hopefully it gets better. That's the idea. It's not going to get better for troops who won't get their paychecks or have them delayed anyway if we do default and the debt ceiling isn't lifted. That was the warning that was issued just last week by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, saying realistically for us it means in some cases we won't be able to pay our troops with any degree of predictability. He testified at a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing. He added that predictability is really, really important for us, but this would have a real impact on the pockets of our troops and our civilians, and that would be a terrible, terrible thing. Default in modern times is unprecedented, so we haven't had that happen. We don't know the exact effect on government payments, like how long troop paychecks would be delayed. It is hard to predict and would largely depend on how the Treasury Department decides to keep paying U.S. bills, because the Treasury would have to choose to prioritize certain payments. That's what they would have to do. Or they could just wait until they have enough cash in hand to make a full day's worth of payments. About $4 billion in military salaries would be due to be paid out on June 15th. So that's where that comes into play. And then how about veterans? About $12 billion in veterans benefits are expected to be paid out even earlier, June 1st. That's the same day the Treasury Department has named as the earliest day a default could happen if Congress doesn't avoid it. So where are we on that question? There is still the point of being stuck that's in the air. So words like positive and professionalism and all of that can get thrown around, but no deal is no deal. I mean, we have less than 2 weeks remaining until this possible default. The president came back from the G7 in Japan earlier so that he could have this meeting on Monday with Kevin McCarthy. Publicly, Biden and McCarthy seem pretty determined to say they're optimistic and they feel like it's professional, the conversations and all of that kind of thing. You know, I call them the P words, productive, professional, perfect. It's not perfect if there's no deal. They're still stuck over political differences that have been there for months, and maybe we're going to have this catastrophe happen. You know, Biden tells reporters that he hopes to improve the nation's finances by targeting tax loopholes and raising rates on wealthy Americans who, he said, don't pay their fair share. But McCarthy says that's a non-starter. Nope. He says you have to spend less than you spent last year, and that's a reference to deep cuts to federal programs. That's something the president doesn't support. So what ultimately happens, you know, spin the wheel of fortune, we don't know at this point, except for that we're now, our debt is at $31.4 trillion. And if we default, besides what happens in the U.S., the other part of this is what does it do to the global economy? And you can say, oh, well, the global economy. But you do care because we're all affected by this. So they'll take a hit, too, as well, when you look at the dollar and everything that that means when we're not able to pay debts. So tick, tick, tick. It's the same thing we've been talking about. Nothing new. Just platitudes and promises and possibilities. Again, all the P words. But nothing has happened. Nothing has happened at this point. That's the thing you need to know. Nothing has happened. All right, something has happened that's a good shift because it needed to happen. Because what are you going to do? There has to be some sort of a conservation deal. So states are going to be required to conserve 3 million acre-feet of water through 2026. What does that mean? Three Colorado River lower basin states, which is California, Nevada, and Arizona, have to conserve an unprecedented amount of water, which is the number I just said. It's voluntary among the three states, but it's going to prevent the need for federal intervention to mandate cuts, because that's what they didn't want to see. And it allows the amount of water released from the Glen Canyon Dam based on water rights. California is the priority, but it also spreads that water evenly among the states, like some of the cuts that happen. So this will help some of those other states, right? I mean, all you have to do is look. They call it the bathtub ring. It shows the water mark on Lake Mead and where it once was and where it is now, and it's appalling, right? On the border of Nevada and Arizona, it's scary. But it's been this way for a while. So, you know, here's the thing. If they don't come up with, if any of these states, if they have a better idea, they have to come up with an acceptable plan. Otherwise, the Interior Department's going to intervene. But the Colorado River Basin supplies drinking water to 40 million people in the U.S. Two states in Mexico, fuels hydropower resources in eight states. And it's crucial. I mean, it's crucial. It's crucial for farmers and so many ag communities across the West. You know, Colorado River, Lake Mead, and Lake Powell, the two largest reservoirs in the world, are at these incredibly record low levels. So that something has to happen here to do something to make a shift. I mean, because what's going to happen, these threats to the Colorado River, by the way, will continue past 2026. But this is a deal to move forward, because if you don't take some sort of action to address this issue and you've got over allocation, then when it's not sustainable for like the Colorado River, right? You know, there was extra rain and snow and all of that, but if the system is what is in place, is it's not enough. And you can see it with, like I said, with those bathtub rings. So the vast amount of water conservation will take place in exchange for about $1 billion in federal funding. So they'll get that money. So it's important that they come up with the ways to meet that. And it might be tough. It might be tough for Tucson and Phoenix. It's going to be tough for some places in California, too. But if they don't do it, then they're not going to get the water they need. That's the way it looks to me. Man Cave next.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Steal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Nuggets swept past the Lakers. That's where we start here in the man cave, knocking off the Lakers, sweeping them 4-0. The final game, 113-111. Congratulations to the Nuggets because they're either going to play the Boston Celts or Miami. Miami has a 3-0 lead on the Celts. They play their game on Tuesday, so we'll see what comes out of the East. But they take the West. They're the Western Conference champions with that win on Monday. It is remarkable for this Denver team. At one point, they trailed by 15 points at the halfway point, but they advanced. I mean, LeBron James played probably the best game of his postseason. He had 40 points and 10 boards and 9 assists. He had a new career high with 31 points in the first half. But it didn't matter because they didn't win. They're done. And then the question for him becomes, does the King retire? Because he kind of hinted at maybe retirement. He hasn't said that, but maybe he's closer. He's 38 years old. I mean, he just scored all those points I told you about and what he's averaging in the regular season, and he still is certainly competitive. But he didn't talk about retirement directly, but his post-game press conference ended on a kind of cryptic note that suggests his time in the NBA might be closing. He said, I have a lot to think about, just personally with me moving forward with the game of basketball. I got a lot to think about. But I would say if I'm a Laker fan, I'm not completely worried. I mean, look, he signed a contract extension last offseason, so retiring would mean he would leave $50 million on the table. And also, you know, his longtime dream was that he would play alongside his son, Bronny, who is still 1 year away from being eligible for the NBA draft. He's going to play for USC this season. So will he hang out for a couple more? I think about that. He's 38. Will he hang out for a couple more years, wait for that to happen, and then really not hint at it, but really decide he's going to retire? But either way, what a great run for Denver, and it's not over yet because they are in the NBA Finals. Huge, 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 huge. Let's talk about a couple other things. Always the NFL rules or football rules, we know that. You look at the big four sports still, and I know from this audience always asking me about football, college or pro, or any football of any sort, that there's no question it still reigns. Here's a couple of things that have come out of the NFL owners' meetings. The NFL owners have to approve a modified Thursday night football flex plan. Their vote was 24-8. The change was approved amid objection from owners like the Raiders' Mark Davis. So what does that whole flex thing mean for you, the watcher? Thursday night football may have more compelling games on its schedule next season, because what it means is they'll flex the games between weeks 13 and 17. And only two flexes are allowed all season. 28 days notice is required, right? So the change was approved, which means the Jets, the Giants, Packers, Bears, Raiders, Lions, Bengals, Steelers were the teams who voted against it, but it didn't matter. And what it means is that those weeks they have the chance, if you've got really bad teams, then you can shift the games. So the NFL is permitting the shift to shift Sunday afternoon games to Thursday night from those weeks 13 to 17. But you know what? Here's the thing, and I can kind of understand why some of these clubs would not like it, because if you have a rate, let's say, for example, I like what Mark Davis said to USA Today. If you have a Raiders-Chargers game in Las Vegas that's scheduled for a Thursday, and you got fans driving from L.A., and Raiders, you got Raiders fans driving, and all the Chargers fans, all of that, they buy their tickets, they book their hotels. Now you say, sorry, it's on Sunday. So who's gonna cover that for them? Nobody's going to cover it for them. He's right. That could be, that's too short notice. That would mess up people who are doing that. And especially Vegas is a good example, too, because Vegas is, Vegas is the team where that would happen a lot, where you would have fans coming from the West Coast who are fans and who were going to spend time in Vegas. And then what does it mean for the players and getting up on these short weeks, right? So it's tough because you'd have that first Thursday night game, and then if you come back around and get another one, that quick turnaround I think is pretty tough for them. It's interesting because Amazon's first season with Thursday Night Football last year drew an average viewership of 9.6 million. Pretty big number, but it's a 46% decline from the previous season when the Thursday night games were on Fox and the NFL Network. And games that didn't have any kind of a playoff implication could have contributed, they think, to the decline in viewership, and I would agree with that. So you can see how that would, happen. You can see how there would be teams that wouldn't like it, but the bottom line is that they want the more compelling games. So that's what you're going to get. I would be remiss not to mention the PGA Championship. Oh, wow. I watched this down the stretch. My hubs, who could care less about golf, he'll watch it with me, but he was really into it, too. To see this club pro, Michael Block, who had a hole-in-one on the 15th hole. I mean, it flew up in the air, right in the cup. He had no idea that it was even in. He's like, what happened? He figured he just had a good shot and it was on the green. But what a story. He was playing alongside number three in the world, Rory McIlroy, the Irish golfer, in the final round at Oak Hill Country Club, and he slam dunked his tee shot on the par 3 15th for that hole-in-one, his first career hole-in-one. And what a memorable finish. He places inside the top 15 on the leaderboard. So he's already in the field for 2024 at Valhalla for the next championships. And I said he was a club pro out in Mission Viejo. His wife said to him immediately, I think you're going to have to start charging more for your lessons. So what an exciting thing to see. It's that story again of the underdog, the unpredictable, improbable finish for a guy who nobody knew who he was, but it's the PGA Championship, and he's in there, he qualifies, and that's how he finished. Brooks Koepka won his third PGA Championship by really having a great stretch run, especially on the final day. So it's his fifth major and the third time he has won the PGA Championship. Only Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus have done that. So good for him, because he really didn't look like he had the right stuff the last probably couple of years. But he was dealing with injury, all of that. But he really made some incredible shots. And in the last, you know, down the stretch, in the last hour especially, he just held it together and hit the pins he needed to hit. And congratulations to him. So it was fun to watch that. The PGA Championship, I think, is always a fun deal. And it's one of our majors in the U.S., other than the U.S. Open, when we talk about golf anyway. So pretty cool to see that happen for sure. Tom Brady, he thought he was just going to go away. Well, he is set to become a minority owner of the Raiders, pending the NFL's approval. So needless to say, the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, while he's not excited about this whole flex thing, he's excited about Tom Brady. So we know he's retired from the NFL for good, but he's not done with the league. Less than 2 weeks after ESPN reported that he had entered deep discussions to become a limited partner of the Raiders, that's what's happening, apparently, that he's going to become a minority owner and be there as, I guess, as a little bit of a presence for the Raiders. So how about that? I think he really wants to flat out own an NFL team, and this may be the first step in that direction. All right, coming up next, a great conversation with Brian Keith Day and then Maria Bruni, two great authors. Stay with us.
Daddy, look it over there. Hey, what they doing there? And where they going there? And daddy, can I have that big elephant over there?
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is meeting with President Biden again to discuss the debt ceiling.
I have the highest respect for the individuals he has down here working on it. People do have difference of opinion, just like in the country, but you have difference of opinion in your own household.
Prior to the meeting, McCarthy said it believes the deal can be reached before the nation defaults. TikTok is suing the state of Montana. A new law keeps residents in Montana from being allowed to download the TikTok app, and it prevents the company from operating in the state. Lawyers for TikTok say say the Montana law violates the First Amendment. A plan has been reached to conserve water in the Colorado River. The states of Arizona, California, and Nevada have agreed to voluntarily conserve 3 million acre-feet of water over the next 3 years to help stabilize the river. The river's flow has dropped about 20% over the last two decades, causing water levels in Lake Powell and Lake Mead to drop. John Schaefer, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
And other supernatural tales of the sage. Brian Keith Day, the author, joins us here in Author's Corner here in America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And he has such an interesting background. And this book is fascinating because you can, it's one of those books where you get into the story and then you can move on to the next. And Brian and I had a great off-air conversation. And if we lived near each other, he'd be one of my favorite people for a couple of different reasons. Not just the writing, but making a living installing and servicing heating and air conditioning equipment. I can't tell you how much I would need an insider on that. And so he's also an insider on people and all that knowledge that goes into what can pour out into any kind of a novel or any kind of a story. So, Brian, thanks for coming on.
You bet.
Tell me what it was that led you to writing this, to pulling this together.
Well, first off, it's an anthology of, I think, four short stories and a longer work novella, about 100 pages, called Red Horse. The Red Horse story was inspired by one of the many service calls I do in my line of work. Many years ago, I went into a house where there was an elderly couple. And this is Wyoming, and we're actually in Native American Central here. There's just across the border in Montana, there's a Crow Indian Reservation and a Northern Cheyenne Reservation. This is where the, right near where the Custer Battlefield and the Fetterman, massacre occurred. So this gentleman and this older couple had been collecting for many years Indian paraphernalia. He had war bonnets and tanyards and the breastplates and many, many Indian artifacts that he had collected throughout his house. And, of course, this fascinated me while I was supposedly doing my job. And when I got done with my service call, I talked to him about all these artifacts, and he said, well, did you see the skulls? And I thought, skulls? What are you talking about? So he took me downstairs, and here on a shelf were two human skulls, quite old and weathered. And one of them had a bullet hole in the forehead, and, of course, the back of it blown out. And the other one was even more grisly. The whole top of the cranium had been not just scalped but totally removed, so it was more like a bowl. And I thought, wow. And, of course, now this is way before the days of political correctness, and he'd been collecting them forever. So he probably purchased or found these from people who were willing to part with them. So anyway, I said, having also noticed they were pretty religious people in the house, I said, do these skulls ever bother you that they're in this house? And he said, no, but I had one that I collected in pieces many years ago. And ever since I'd had that skull, it always seemed like someone was in the room watching me all the time. And ultimately, he gave it to a friend, and he asked the friend later on how he was getting along with that skull. And the friend said, you know, ever since I had that in my house, it seemed like somebody was always watching me. So I basically disposed of it somewhere along the line. So in my devious mind over time, I devised a story called Red Horse out of this experience. And it was going to be a short story, but it kept growing, so it ran about 100 pages. And the two skulls that this character has began to compete with each other for control of he and his wife. And I kind of like it. I think it reflects the area of Sheridan, Wyoming, and this area maybe a little more than the Longmire series does. I've met Craig Johnson. He's a neighbor in Wyoming, is probably 50 or 60 miles away, so he's kind of a neighbor. But so that's where that one came from. The other stories have similar backgrounds of experiences I've had and so on.
And that, which is so great, that's why I said you could pick it up at any point, the four short stories, as you said, and the novella that you've written based on some of the things you saw. It's fascinating to hear about Red Horse. And we won't go into all of them, but this one also got me excited because I love the idea of haunted things. And you've got Good for the Gander, and you said that that kind of popped into your mind when you were traveling through this golf course, something local, and this development, this real estate area for people who had money. And then when the McMansions closed up, boom, that kind of triggered that in you. Was that fun to write? And tell us a little more about that story.
Well, this happened around 2008, the real estate crash. There is a golf resort development in this area. It probably has 27 holes of golf or more. Fairly well-to-do people build large houses around it. The real estate is sold through that whole development. And, of course, around 2007, 2008, I did a lot of work in there, and many of these places were closed up. Suddenly for sale, so I'm driving around doing what few service calls I have in the area in a ghost town. And again, in my fertile mind, I'm thinking, wow, this would be really neat if some of these were haunted at different times. You could have whole different settings. So that became the story, Good for the Gander. Golf courses generally attract Canadian geese to them in large numbers because of the waterworks, so that's where the gander reference comes from in that. My stories generally, modern stories seem to be more vignettes than character sketches often. And I'm old school. I think a story should have a beginning, a climax, and an ending. So most of my stories run 20 or 30 pages, and a person can probably read them in an evening, one at a time or whatever, and get the whole thing complete in this modern hectic life we have now. Perhaps that's better for some people than something that runs 300 pages.
Boy, isn't that true. And I like how you describe that, the modern hectic life that we have. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to us can relate to it. And I also like that, as you said, you're old school, and where you take us in the beginning, you give us that great beginning, the climax, and then, boom, we get the payoff at the end. You don't leave us hanging. I call it leaving people hanging, and you absolutely don't do that. So now, you know, you've written another book. You published a nonfiction book, too, called Wyoming trivia. Was that fun to write that one as well?
That's kind of what really got me started. Now, that was with a full-scale publisher called Riverbend Publishing, and I don't know, 10 years or more ago. That was actually, that publishing company was bought out by Roman and Littlefield, I think it's pronounced. And so that gave me an experience in what it is to actually write something dictated to you by a publisher, an editor, and then go through the whole process of getting the manuscript done, having it gone through, making corrections and proofs and so on, and then waiting for them to publish it.
Yeah, exactly.
They were actually supposed to publish it on 1 year, and they delayed it because they had some other project, and I had to wait another year. So that's learning by experience there. That was a little enlightening.
Yeah, different too, right? And coming up with trivia questions and trivia and what that's all about, and talking about Wyoming, and there's so much rich history there. I love that you mentioned Longmire, which was one of my favorite series and really made me want to go to Wyoming, and I think people can relate to that because of some of the beautiful country that you're in the middle of, and that would just spur on so many stories. And again, the name of the book, Red Horse and Other Supernatural Tales of the Sage. For you, was this really fun, Brian, to pull this all together, these stories?
Yes, I enjoyed it. A lot of those stories were published individually in like small actual anthologies and so on. There was one that was out of Canada called All Hallows. I don't think that's still in publication. And another one out of England called Supernatural Tales. They had a couple of those published in them. And some other ones were done in e-zines, e-magazines. And then I had written the Red Horse story, which was lengthy, and I'm going, geez, I've got 250 pages here. I think I'll write another one, which is where the story in there called Gold of Deadwood came to kind of fill that out. So I wanted to try the, for lack of a better term, vanity publishing a little bit, self-publishing. So I did that, published it, and got that experience, and now we're moving forward with it. So, yeah, I did enjoy putting them all together. It's kind of nice to have a book in your hand that's got your name on it and your stories in it.
Yeah, and as I said to you, I mean, a lot of people talk about doing it, but you actually did it. And you said it along the way, but what do you hope people take away that are listening to this interview? They pick up your book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. What do you hope they take away from reading Red Horse and Other Supernatural Tales of the Sage?
Boy, I guess expanding their imagination. There's some things in there. The Red Horse story, which is more lengthy, there's a little bit in there where I get into a little bit of a philosophy, but not much. I try not to preach to people. But most of them, it's just a good old spook story, good old ghost story. Not a lot of terrible, grisly stuff going on in there, and not like a Stephen King book or something. But good stories, good old stories. I was a Ray Bradbury fan. In fact, one of the stories in there is related to Ray Bradbury's stories. And again, he's old school. You get a beginning, a climax, and an ending in there, and some kind of poignant food for thought, usually. So I guess that's what I'm trying to do, is follow in those old footsteps of good old solid stories that go somewhere.
There you go. Good storytelling. Brian Keith Day, what a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck, and thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you very much.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
So the name of the book is God's Untapped Resources, The Gifts of the Spirit. It was written by the Reverend Dr. Mario Bruni, and his wife, Maria Bruni, is with us to talk about the book here in Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Maria, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about this book and what your husband's intention was when he decided he was going to write the book.
Well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are nine of them, and for a long time, they have not been used in the churches. And they're things that God gave to his people to help them with the calling of the church.
Of the nine that you're talking about, we're not going to tell everyone all of them, but what do you think are some of the most important ones that frustrated him that people didn't know?
Well, gift of healing, ministry, miracles, faith, gifts of wisdom and knowledge, and discerning of spirits, the prophecy, gift of prophecy to help people and lead and guide them. He also talked about, in the book, the fivefold ministry gifts, which God gives to certain people. Their callings, and those are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And right now, in the body of Christ, the prophets have been looked down upon. God is raising up prophets all over the place to tell the people in the church what is coming. His word says that he will do nothing unless he tells the prophets first. He wants to warn the people of things that are coming. And he does it through the prophets. And right now, for the last several years, there have been a lot of prophets coming forth into that office of prophet. And they have been warning the church and trying to get the church to wake up. And the church, for a lot of them, are still sleeping and not paying attention to what God is trying to do.
So that was the mission of his book, right, was to talk about that. And even then to say, hey, this is what's not happening and what happens if the gifts of the Spirit aren't used. And then also, how can they be tapped into and how do you properly use this for a better world? How do you do that, right? And some of that and what you talk about in what he talks about in the book is the untapped resources, which is what you mentioned, and how they can be used. So what is the so for example, the gift of healing. So what's the proper use of that?
Okay. Well, healing, is a gift given to the church, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And God heals people all different ways, okay? He always has. An example. My husband went through cancer. And when he was finally diagnosed with the cancer, it had spread throughout his lungs and over into his heart. And the doctor gave him really no chance. They told him that the only hope he had was for chemo. You know? Mm-hmm. So my husband went for the first chemo. And after he was done, the next day he had to go back to Sloan Kettering to have it checked and to make sure that, you know, his body was doing okay. Everything was lining up perfect. Yeah, with the chemo. And when he went there, they could not find any cancer. God had taken it all away. He was totally healed.
Wow. And then the doctors wanted him to still do the chemo, I think you and I talked about it, and he did do that,
yes.
But they were shocked that he had no cancer.
Yes. And the chemo almost killed him.
Yeah.
You know, because he, in going and doing that, did not show trust to God for the healing. And, you know, God was trying to get his attention and showed him that, you know, when I heal you, you're healed. You know?
Yeah.
And
boy, that had to be a great day for you.
Yes, it was. It was a great day to see him healed and to, you know, have my husband back totally.
Yeah.
It was very good. You know, and there are other things, you know, other healings I've seen. You know, at times when you lay your hands on somebody and you pray in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, we are healed, is what the word says. He took on his body before he went to the cross, he took a whipping. And the whipping was with a cat of nine tails with glass and metal in it. And it tore the skin off of his back. And the word says that by those stripes, we are healed. He paid for our healing. So what I do is I claim that healing. Whenever I am not feeling well, I feel a cold coming on or I get hurt or something, I claim the healing that God gave me, that Jesus suffered for, so that I could have it. And I keep on speaking forth that healing.
Mm.
You know, unless God tells me to go to the hospital or do something, I will stand on that healing until I feel totally healed. I have plenty examples of that. You know, I'll get a headache and I will stand on God's word. And I will stand on God's word, and normally within a few hours, the headache is totally gone. Yeah.
Wow. So
without
that's
without taking anything or anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that's a great example of what Mario talked about in his book. What do you hope people take away from reading his book, The Gifts of the Spirit, God's Untapped Resource?
Okay. Well, there's something in there that's very important to all the gifts and the ministries, which people really need to know, and that is God's love. My husband in the book writes, I think, three chapters or so about the love of God. Without his love, everything that a church does, a person does, without love, is vain. God loves us, and he wants us to love one another. He wants us to have the same love for people as he has. And in that love, we would minister the gifts, okay? If I see somebody hurting, I would stop and pray for them, you know, because of the love of God. If I see something, you know, I'll talk to them. I'll help them. I'll do what I can. And in the Bible, it talks, gifts are given in 1 Corinthians 12, and then in 1 Corinthians 14.
Yeah, so that's a good
chapters.
Place. Yeah, that's a good place to look that up. I think the message there is exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Love of people. Could we not use that now? We are out of time.
Yes.
Again, the book is God's Untapped Resources. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Maria, thank
yes.
you so much.
Okay.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.